you could hear them in stereo with two radios. You know, there are all kinds of different configurations. You could modify a boombox with one stereo subcarrier in one channel and one off the other speaker. So there are different configurations that are possible, but normally in the world of subcarrier, it's monophonic. It's not quite as fidelitious or whatever. It doesn't have quite as great audio response as the main carrier. And it suffers from multipath and crosstalk. And it's probably a little harder to hear at a greater distance than stereo is. So if the FM stereo is nice and clear and crisp, so should be the subcarrier. But if the stereo is lacking, so will this be lacking. And if you're in an area of multipath, it won't be the greatest. But that's an interesting aspect of broadcasting, and it can be DX'd. Somebody asked me, can you hear skip subcarrier DX'ing? Sure you can. The skip is strong. It's often pegging your meter. It's way up there. What is it, an S5 or 40 dB over S9, if you got that kind of meter? It will often approach that height. If you flip over to a subcarrier setting, and there it should be there, nice and clear. And some of the devices I have are tunable, so you can just tweak the tuning a little bit if there's a little mistuning of it, and it should be there. So those are my remarks on FM. I might say that the new GE, a lot of you have the General Electric Super Radio. It's been acclaimed as a very good AM broadcast band receiver in a small package, 9-volt or 9-D-cell battery General Electric radio, about this size, you know, black front and all that, separate base.
Six batteries.
Six batteries, okay, yeah, 9-volt. Okay. Anyway, I have the new Super Radio 3. If anyone wants to look at it, I've got a couple of them for sale. They're not modified. But I think a big disappointment, that radio is not as sensitive on AM as the old Super Radio. And I have not looked inside. I just took delivery of them before coming here, so I put two of them in the car. And I tested them out in Bloomington, Minnesota before coming here. And here, I think it was, I don't remember who was testing with me there. Anyway, George Sherman back there. He tested out extensively. Anyway, it seems that they've done away with the elaborate, silver-plated variable condenser, capacitor, and probably gone to that square thing that all the radios have nowadays instead of that beautiful thing with the many elements. That's what I think. And the dial is more compressed. The middle of the dial occurs about maybe almost two-thirds of the way to the right instead of being right in the middle like the previous model had, which might be a giveaway that they've gone to that kind of technology. I think the FM is uncompromised. I think the FM is still good. And the package had some stupid statement on, it said, selectivity switch, wide narrow, for better sound and better station separation. Well, obviously, if you have better sound, you're going to have poorer station separation. If you want better station separation, you sacrifice a little of the sound, right? That's the way I look at it. So, I suppose what they mean is the switch enables you to select whether you want better sound or better separation. But I think the switch is maybe a poor excuse for better engineering. And that's what I'd like to see in all radios, is better engineering, not more necessarily more gimmicks. Okay, I guess that concludes my talk right now. If anybody wants to see any of my radios, my FM Atlas, and I do have a newsletter called FM Media, comes out every month, and I'll have some of the April ones to give away. I've got a few with me to give away. And I have my FM Atlas book and the radios. So I'll have some of those over in the Nebraska room after we get back. Mark?
I wanted to know if you knew what the status of playing a radio, playing an FM radio on airplanes was at this time. Was it prohibited or what?
Well, I think the rule is still there, and I've never done it, but people coming here told me they had no problem. I guess a few people who have been squeamish about it have asked the pilot for permission. I suppose that's the best way, maybe to ask the pilot, and if he seems upset, maybe you could say, well, I'll sit in the back of the plane. I don't know where their antennas are.
The law reads that it's at the discretion of the pilot or the pilot.
Okay, that's a good answer. Did you hear the answer?
Yes, because I had done it for 4 years with no problem, and the last time I flew, I got chewed out for playing the super radio.
Yeah. I've heard there are strange anomalies how you get the DX there. The stations like 400 miles away might be clearer than those right below you, especially if you're sitting over the wing. I don't know, but I've heard these things.
Bruce, could I just expand on that for a moment?
Yeah,
John. Any super heterodyne radio made by any company in the world, if you tune it to 107.9, will emit a signal 11 megahertz above that, approximately, which can be the control tower frequency for airports. So if you're going to do that, you should keep your FM radio below 96 megahertz. Then you shouldn't have any trouble.
Okay, thank you. Mike? Mike Lanz?
Yeah. Okay. Two things. Number one, just a comment. Last year, I picked up a station in Worcester, Ohio, and I like to try to call the stations and see if they'll accept the charges, and they did. So I told them I was calling from Miami and told them I was picking them up, played them a tape. They thought I was calling for another reason, to give them a voice score. But what I was wondering is, when there's a skip on TV or on FM, do the TV stations and the FM stations, do they really know about it, and have they ever acknowledged it?
On the air, you mean?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. Maybe if a few DXers are at the controls, they might. Frank?
I've actually seen TV stations like KMID in Midland, Texas, put up a slide that talks about technical difficulties when there's skips coming in.
Rick?
To expand on Mark's question just a little bit ago, and I'll answer it in part. I think since the Pan Am crash in Scotland a few years ago, which was indirectly linked to bomb planted in the radio, they have cracked down a lot on that sort of thing, on carrying radios on board planes.
Right, yeah, especially if you appear to be hiding it, I would think. Greg, were you going to ask something?
I'm just going to make mention to those of you who may not know that I work at a television station as a chief engineer, and one of the interesting parallels that falls into FM DXing is that if you hear the FM band up, you can start to go moving up in frequencies. Now, we're up at a big FM band at 601 megahertz, channel 35 on the TV band. And the interesting thing about it is when the FM band starts to go, you start to track upwards. And a lot of times if you're an amateur radio operator, you'll start hearing the 2-meter machine start to skip in, or the repeaters start to chatter because it just doesn't receive signals. But typically, a lot of the parallels between FM and TV track almost identical. And the only difference is the skip zones tend to be a little bit different, where in Ohio you'd hear Waco, Texas. On FM, on TV, you'd be probably picking up Chicago or something.
And then there's a phenomenon called MUF, maximum usable frequency, and you'll find skip most often on channel 2 or the low band scanning frequencies, and then it will work its way up, and sometimes getting up to the low end of the FM band, and you can even within the FM band track it up maybe to the top of the band, and then beyond that, maybe channel 7 to 9 or so. But I've never heard a skip affecting UHF.
A year ago, there was a skip opening which was so severe, we run 661,000 watts at channel 35, and the skip was so severe that Erie, Pennsylvania was coming in 4 miles from our transmitter, wiping us off the air.
That's trouble.
That's trouble.
One thing that's a pet peeve of mine that has been over the years, one of yours also, that hasn't come up tonight, I thought I'd comment on it. If I were still sending out reception reports, and I haven't for several for many years, I would probably not get any verifications back, because I would mention the history of the consultant to 13Q in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on 1310, when explaining the logic for using 13Q instead of the call letters, he said, "Our listeners have such short attention spans, they can't remember the call letters." I would ask them how your listeners who can't remember the call letters, if that's the premise still, how can they remember the commercials?
Right. Well, you know, along that line, I DX'd, I think, in the mid-50s, WOKZ-FM in Alton, Illinois, on 100.3. I think it's KATZ-FM now. And they had on their letterhead, FM 100. And the engineer wrote back apologizing for that. I think this is in the 1950s. And he says, this must be the manager's idea of promoting this, the frequency. But he says, they don't get it right. We're 100.3.
Yeah. at WMIX, so when I was still in broadcasting, a program director came in very briefly to change the, and he tried to change the operation to X94, and I got that scotched pretty quickly because the owner of the owner of the radio station had a higher opinion of listeners than that.
Sure. Well, let's just have a couple more questions. Lonnie, do you have your hand up there?
Oh, yes, I have a comment. You know, if you ever run into a reading service that's hesitant about, you know, discussing with you the tunable receiver possibility and the possibility of the public having access, one argument you could use against that is, well, you know, why should the public, why should you worry about public access when the material that is made available to the blind is so severely limited? The public has so much more access to a broader range of material in print.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, that's one advantage blind people do have over sighted people is that they have that special service devoted to them. And I'm not one to try to take that away. I know there are blind people who honestly feel that by publicizing the service and making it available, there's a danger of jeopardizing it. I don't see it that way, but I can, you know, respect their feeling.
In fact, I think it would be the reverse, that it would actually make it, you know, a little more open, maybe a little more, even a little more demand.
Right. In fact, a fellow in Lansing, Michigan wrote to me, and he said, if you can sell receivers to blind people who can afford them, that enables our budget to go farther because we can then give the radios only to the truly deserving. Chris?
I have many questions about FM and FMEX. One most on my mind is what is the connection between weather and FM skip? Because I've often found the best FM skip openings occur during periods of severe thunderstorms and bad weather in Miami.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't studied that too much. There seems to be a correlation between tornadoes and skip. And I don't know whether it's the tornado, I think, activity. Well, since skip is a two-way thing, the tornadoes could be at either location near the station you're getting or near the receiver or maybe in between. Maybe Frank has some idea on that. But
I myself, maybe there isn't any correlation to speak of because there's lots of tornadoes like in March and April and stuff like that. And
virtually no skip then.
Yeah. It's usually the ducting of the frontal system which is coming
system,
in.
Right.
And the best parallel to that is, you know, when, especially if you have a line of thunder showers that are moving on an angle between the two, the receiving and transmitting points.
Okay, I think, Mike, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, two quick things. Number one, actually, like three. Do you know what happened to Physicians Radio Network? Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, they went out of business. They were going to go on some AM stations, and I guess it never materialized.
Okay, also, this 100.7 I find very interesting. How do people get subcarriers to listen to that? And where is it out of? I would like to know more information about that.
Okay, it's based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's called Children's Sunshine Network, and they have an 800 number. You could call them. Probably the person locally might be a third party. It could be the station, or it might be a third party interested in renting the space on the station. And by the way, any of you could rent a space on a subcarrier station if you have an idea with merit and maybe some money to back it up and maybe an idea to help you make more money. But maybe they do have that arrangement, and they're buying the receivers at a low price and selling them or renting them out to people.
And also, are you familiar with WRBH Radio for the Blind and Handicapped in New Orleans?
Right, that's an open carrier, 88.3.
Are there any other stations that are radio reading services that are open carriers, either on AM or FM around the country?
No, I don't think so.
One new one in Memphis, Tennessee, WYPL. I believe they're operated by the Carson Library in Memphis, and they do essentially the same thing that RBH does, reading books, magazines, and newspaper articles.
But is it full-time or is it part-time that and part-time something else?
I believe they're not on 24 hours a day, but I know that's when they're on, that's all they do is they do reading service.
Okay, maybe one more question. Mr. Marino?
When skip occurs, does where you're getting from, like if you're picking up Louisville, Kentucky, are they also picking up Omaha?
Yes, yeah, they should be, unless there are local stations in that area blocking Omaha reception for them. But it's a two-way street, whether it's skip or any other method of reception.
Greg? In other words, that to continue on sort of thing about skip currents, I happened to be on May 8th. I don't know how any of y'all did on May 8th, but I had a lot of northern New Mexico and Texas Panhandle. So in other words, they were picking up Mississippi probably from there.
They would be.
I think the sunspot bands are the only bands where you have that one-way skip, so like 10 or 11 meter M bands.
The ducting is definitely a two-way street. As much interference as we got that one opening on the TV station, we are causing the same amount of interference to Channel 35 up in northern Michigan and Prairie, Pennsylvania.
By the way, if any of you know of any recent station changes in your areas of the country where you come from, stop over and see me at the Nebraska, and I'd like to enter that in my database if I don't already have that. So I get information from official sources and unofficial, take whatever information I can get. Okay, Rick, maybe one quick question.
Yeah, I'll make this real quick. To help out Chris's question earlier regarding the correlation between weather and FM skip, I've noticed that not necessarily during severe weather, but also during bright and sunny days where the atmosphere outside is just hot, real humid, real sticky. The FMDX is also quite good.
It can be. I'm not one to put a lot of stock into correlating weather with DX because there are, I think, so many instances where theories like that are disproven, but it could be a sort of causal relationship there, but not 100%. Yeah.
I just want to add real quick, I've noticed FM skip during weather fronts coming in, weather fronts in the area, also temperature inversions.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, I think in conclusion, I'd just like to thank the club here for inviting me, and I also want to thank Ken here for including my FM Atlas in his list of publications. I think a lot of you have bought my book from him, and I think it's really great. I think you've got a good club. I haven't been to an NRC gathering since 1984 in Colorado Springs, so it was great to be back. Thank you.
Very interesting, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's all we have for now. If you want to chat for about 10 minutes, the bus driver will tell us where the bus is.
Yeah.
Where are your plans?
I'll pick you up the same place.
Okay, we'll be here about 10 minutes. You can go to the restroom. And we have to accumulate a few things. I got to pay the bill. That's the fun part. Okay, that's it for now. We'll go back to the hotel, and the business meeting is planned for about 10:30. 10:30 tonight. Thank you.
One of the eventful things which happened on the way back from Omaha was Phil and I had our car robbed while we were staying overnight in Chicago, Illinois. Someone broke into Phil's car and stole a large number of cassette tapes, which we had recorded at the 1992 convention. Lucky for us was the fact that there's a lot of great people in the National Radio Club, one of which is John from Pittsburgh, and John sends in this report.
Okay, dear audio service members, we have just seen a videotape of the history of Omaha, AM, FM, and TV, and we've not concluded that, and we are in the Nebraska room, and we're talking to a few members of the club, and standing to my left is the one and only from Provincetown, Massachusetts. You know him better as Ernie Cooper, ERC, and he's wearing his most favorite shirt tonight. Beer made this wonderful putrid body or body. Good evening, Ernie.
Good evening, John. I mean, yes, John. There's so many people here, forget who they all are. We have about 40 people in this room, And there was a wonderful presentation of all the Omaha radio, TV, and then on the FM side also, seeing all the stations from the time they started and right up to the present day, including seeing Johnny Carson at WOW, where he started.
I thought that was very interesting. And the coil jingles at the end.
Yes. And, of course, we all know that Johnny Carson went from here to great fame and riches and wives.
And many wives, like a harem. But anyway, I thought the whole audience here really enjoyed that tonight.
And you guys ought to try to come to these conventions, and you girls, wherever, because three or four folks here are sightless, and they're enjoying themselves to the fullest. And I'm sure you would, too, if you can get here to wherever the next convention is. So try to make it if you can. It's loads of fun.
I agree, totally. Thank you, Ernie. And we'll talk to you later. Okay, now we're standing in the middle of the room. And here on my left is Michael Lance from Miami Beach, Florida. And, Michael, I've seen you now. This is the third time.
Right.
How are you enjoying yourself, Michael?
Oh, I love it. You know, a year without the convention is like a year without sunshine.
Oh, I can second that. How did you enjoy the video tonight?
Oh, I loved it. It brought back a lot of memories. I don't remember Iowa radio. I mean, not Iowa.
Nebraska.
Nebraska radio. Whoops, I'm sorry. Erase that. I don't remember Nebraska radio.
Iowa, Nebraska radio.
But it brought back a lot of memories. Nebraska radio is very unique. It's not like Miami radio. Miami radio is junk, I think.
Well, some people might disagree, but
yeah.
You've been around enough to know about that.
Right.
Anyway, now we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. Okay, now we're back. We just heard a taped telephone conversation with Skip Dabblestein from Minneapolis, who couldn't make it tonight. And he gave us a report on the NEBI, the Nebraska beverage, which highlighted catches out west on graveyards, locals, regionals, clear channels, and Canadians. And now I'm standing with Mark Marino from Long Beach, California. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
How are you enjoying your stay here at the Omaha Convention?
Oh, very good so far. And maybe I'll get me one of them beverage antennas, since I got a beverage in my hand.
Yes, you do. How did you enjoy the Omaha video of the AM, FM, and TV tonight?
Oh, it was pretty good. Pretty good. Very, very informative.
Is this your first convention you've ever attended?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been wanting to come for 4 or 5 years and never could make it, so.
And now you're here.
Yeah.
You think you'll be back again?
Maybe. I hope so. If I can make it.
Okay, sounds good.
I just need more beer and whatever. I don't know.
Well, there's plenty of beer at every convention.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mark, for coming, and we hope you enjoy your stay here at the Omaha Convention.
Maybe some more of the DX Audio Service listeners will come and join us out here. It's a lot of fun.
You're right, you are, because...
Tell them to bring their single girlfriends.
Okay.
Oh, really.
That's good. Good idea.
Yeah.
Now, standing next to me is one of the hosts of the Nebraska Convention, the Big O team, one of the members, Lonnie Merritt from Omaha. Good evening, Lonnie.
Good evening. Nice to meet ya. Whoop.
We're saying hello to the DX Audio Service members.
Oh, okay.
How's everything going? Everything so far working out pretty well?
Yes, everything's fine.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We had two fine tours this afternoon, and this evening's program was very good.
Where were the tours at this afternoon?
Okay, the tours were of KIOS FM. That's a public radio station here in Omaha.
Part of the Magnet School program in the city school district of Omaha, correct?
This is true. In fact, it was started by Omaha Public Schools until they started to take mostly National Public Radio and American Public Radio feed. Then they didn't really have room for the students on the air, but the students do a lot of the duplication of some of the material that goes on the air now. Since didn't do a lot of the setting up. The other tour was of the railroad communications system.
The Harriman Center, the Union Pacific switching system, correct?
Right, the Union Pacific. And that is a huge building, in case for any of you who didn't get a chance to take that tour who are listening to this issue of DX Audio Service, that is a huge building. Each room in it's probably at least the size of a football field.
That is the tour I missed, unfortunately. But anyway, there are plenty of events scheduled, and like more of you DX Audio Service members to please consider coming to a future convention as the host, try to line up as many things as possible. We thank you, Lonnie, for speaking to the members, and thank you for having us here in Omaha.
Well, I thank you all for coming, and I appreciate being able to. I feel it's a privilege to help host this convention, and I feel that I would certainly be eager to attend future conventions myself. I thank you for the interview.
Thank you, sir. Sitting on my left is CPC test coordinator from Aurora, Colorado, correct? Is Wayne Heinen.
That used to be correct. That's now going to be Jeff Tynan. I'm in charge of the logbook.
Okay. My ear. Excuse me. How are you enjoying yourself there this evening?
Ernie's put on one good convention. This has been the stuff that he's had planned has been excellent, and about the only thing I could have asked for was a little bit more cooperation on the part of the weather during the end of the tour, as opposed to having a thunderstorm. So it's a great convention. So I hope next year more of the DXAS members will be able to come out and have a good time with us.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. Now, moving around a little bit, I'm here with Ken Chatterton, NRC Publications. Good evening, Ken. How's the banquet going so far?
Hello there, everybody. Everything's going fine. We had a great convention.
What did you think of the tour of the Air Force Base today?
That was very interesting. I had no idea that they still had the level of alertness that they were displaying.
I thought so. Very interesting also. Ken is now also selling the AM logbook. What is the price going now for the newest edition?
Well, the price will be $15 here at the convention, and then $16.95 when we mail it to you afterwards.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. And I looked through it already, and the information is very thorough, up to date. One of the best logbooks the club's put out. It is the 25th anniversary of the logbook too, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
25th anniversary is the 13th individual edition.
Very good. Thank you, Ken. Moving around some more, I find John Kellerman. Surprise, surprise. The last time I saw John was in 1982 at Louisville. And here he is back again from Mount Vernon, Illinois. Good evening, John.
Well, good evening, and real happy to be here, and thanks to Mike Hawk, who is a ham radio contact of mine, and Mike M0OSY was found by name in the 25 years ago in NRC, asked me if I was the same one, and said that the convention was being held in Omaha this year, and by golly, here I am.
Yes, you are, live and in person. That's amazing. Wow. It's good to stay in contact with people like that. Now, we were just refreshing our memories here. You were the person, the Boston Publishing Committee, that put together the first AM logbook in 1968, correct?
That's correct. We had, we, when I, when when we needed somebody to publish the bulletin after Dick Cooper, I was the volunteer. I was in Houston, Texas at the time, but a radio job in Boston brought me to Boston and found a lot of people who were able to take over. When I got married and the wife says, get these people out of my house. So fortunately, we were able to leave the NRC in good shape despite our sudden problem there. But we did also, we'd been working for many years. I had kept up a log with addresses and schedules and so forth. And so I sat down and typed that thing into stencils, 100 and some of them. And we published the first NRC log in 1968 with those typed stencils. And I still have a clean, fresh copy of it. And it's the one thing that I didn't bring to put on the auction tonight.
A golden oldie that wasn't here. What do you think of the current logbook, the way it looks now?
I think it's very, very gorgeous. The people who have made some vast and beautiful, beautiful improvements on it, and I'm real proud of what has happened with the log. I think it's the best still available. I've looked at M Street, and I've looked at others, and it's far and away the best that's available.
A long way from 1968.
Indeed, and a long way. I'm sitting across the table here from Ernie Cooper, and when I joined the NRC in 1956, about 3 months after I joined, I was drafted into the Army. I had volunteered for the draft, and my first assignment after basic training was some training at the Army Information School in Fort Slocum, New York, and Ernie Cooper and Pete Clarius and Bernie Duffy, one of the most wonderful people that I've ever known, showed me a tremendous time when I was in the New York City area in 1958, and so it's always great to renew acquaintances with Ernie and Pete and sort of in absentia Bernie.
And here they are sitting directly across from you tonight. Well, thank you very, very much, John Kellerman, for coming tonight, and we hope to see you again sometime soon. Thank you.
Thank you, and it's my pleasure to be here, and I hope I can do it again. I was one of five of us, incidentally, who were at the Omaha Convention in 1959 that are here again this year.
Really? Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you, John. Now we're just going to go around and get a few hellos from everybody, and we'll see what we can get. All right, standing here waiting for his drink at the bar is none other than Carl Mann from Omaha, Nebraska, one of the Big O team. Good evening, Carl.
Good evening, and hello to X Audio Service.
Are you having a good time tonight?
I better. I live here. Yes, I'm having a great time. It's good to have everybody in my hometown again. It's been 33 years since we've had an NRC convention in Omaha, and it's a lot of fun to have everybody back visiting us and showing off our radio stations here to them, and hope to do it again in another 33 years.
It may be that long before we come back again. But anyway, thank you for having us here. Thank you. Okay, sitting here at the end of the table here is Lynn Rollin, Lindblade. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening, and hello to the DX service out there.
You're a native of Omaha?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm a native of Omaha.
And I just spoke to you briefly before. You've been out of the club for a while, now you're back in?
Yeah, I've been out for 4 or 5 years. I'm not back in. I just came to the convention because Ernie let me know he was holding it.
So are you glad you're here tonight, then?
Oh, of course. I see a lot of old friends.
And renewing acquaintances.
Right. That means a lot, you know.
Well, we thank you for coming here tonight. As well, the Big O thanks you for coming. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Sitting to Lynn's right is Kern Chadwick, one of the Big O team. Good evening, Kern.
Well, good evening to you, and I'm certainly glad to be here representing myself at the banquet, as well as the big old teeth. And merry, merry to everybody.
Okay. We're making a tape to the DX Audio Service.
Oh, hello to the DX Audio Service. I got here late as usual. I would say I hope to be seeing you. I'll be hearing from you, possibly.
All right. Well, thank you, Kern. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Sitting across from Lynn Blade is Roger Giannini. Hello, Roger.
Hello, this is Roger Giannini from Belleville, Illinois, and Springfield, Illinois. Nice to see everybody here and waiting to get one of Fred Vogel's Super Loops when they become available once again. Over and out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Roger. Now, moving around, here's an old-time DXer from Staten Island, New York, Pete Clarius. Hello, Pete. I've seen you many times before.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here at another convention. This is my first time in Omaha. Very impressed with the city. Came down by Amtrak, enjoyed it very, very much. And sitting next to me here is my old buddy, Rainey Cooper. We go way back from Brooklyn days, and Bernie Duffy and myself, John Callaman and a few others, John Sampson. I haven't seen John in a long time. Very happy that I've seen him again today. And I'm really having a wonderful time, and with God's help, I hope to be at next year's convention. Thank you very much.
We hope to see you next year, too. Thank you, Pete. Okay, and moving right down to next to Pete, here's the old fart himself, Ernie Cooper. Hello, Ernie, again.
Oh, I'm back again, and you're back again. Yeah, we're here, we sit waiting to eat, and hopefully it's coming pretty soon.
Are you, I can see the saliva's, you're drooling, you're waiting for your steak there, so you must be pretty hungry.
Well, we have the beer to keep us company until it gets here.
Don't drink too many beers, though. You might be walking through the window by tonight.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm in control.
Always out of control.
No. Not I. Those days are gone forever.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ernie. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. My age, you have to behave yourself. Nothing else you can do.
And let's go, Pirates. Mets last place again.
No comment.
No comment. Okay, now to Ernie's left is John, don't call me Shorty, Balker, from Valparaiso, Indiana. Hello, John.
Hi, John. Beautiful day here in central eastern Nebraska. Do you watch the tornado warnings and everything that they've been having on TV in the last hour?
I was swept away by them.
Oh. We started in Kansas this morning. I guess that's...
Well, I just blew into town last night, so...
I'll tell Fred he's not allowed to use this tape.
Well, thank you, John. We know you're a man of many few words. Thank you. We hope you enjoy your meal, so it's under the table. You can start. And now, at the head of the table, the speaker for tonight, Dr. Bruce Elving from Adolph, Minnesota.
Adolph or Esco or whatever. Thank you, John, for inviting me to speak to the DX Audio Service. I think a lot of DXers know me because of my offering subcarrier radios that get reading services and other interesting programs like that, which the government would rather not have private individuals own. But maybe I'll get into that a little bit during my talk, which you may hear later on DX Audio Service. So thanks for having me speak now.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you for the first time on Thursday night, and we look forward to your speech tonight. Thank you very much.
Very good. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you. And standing up against the wall is none other than John Dangerous Balker with his call letter jacket, a sight to be seen or not seen, to tell the truth.
It wouldn't be an NRC convention without having this jacket, John. You know that. And by the way, don't get too close because I'm doing my calisthenics up against this wall.
Yes, John is going to be filming the convention, or videotaping it.
We call it taping, yes. So please continue. if you're talking about me, please continue. Otherwise, just end the tape.
But anyway, I hear that the jacket is going to be donated to the broadcast museum in Pittsburgh whenever we get one.
No, Temple University maybe, but I don't know. We'll see.
Not if I get my hands on it first. Well, thank you, John.
Okay, John. Good to see you as always.
And somewhere in where? Sun City? Somewhere Florida.
Sun City Center, Florida. Come see us.
Blown into the Gulf Coast. And that concludes our speeches at the NRC banquet. We'll be back shortly and see what else can happen. So stay tuned.
And at the convention this year, two products were introduced by the National Radio Club Publication Center. One product is a product which the National Radio Club has had for many, many years. And the other product is one which has been resurrected. It was put on the back burner for several years and at this year's National Radio Club Convention. It came out of hiding and is now made available to the membership of the DX Audio Service and the National Radio Club. The hidden product is the National Radio Club 1992-1993 DX calendar. Now, what this is a 13-month wall calendar that features the years of October 1992 to October of 1993. And the interesting thing is that the place where the photo would usually be on a calendar, it contains a sunrise-sunset map of the United States of America for that month. Now, instructions for the proper use of the map is also included. This is a great DXing tool for all the DXers, as it gives you the ability to be able to figure out exactly where your local station would be performing its sign-off, or perhaps its pattern change, or its power change, as well as being able to target specific areas of the United States where their power changes or pattern changes or sign-offs would take place also. So, for example, here in the eastern part of the United States, our sign-off times come a little bit earlier than that in Chicago or in the Midwest. Obviously, in Colorado, they're approximately 2 hours ahead of us. So, you know, it would be a case of while we go on to nighttime powers that particular time, a station in Chicago might still be on day powers. So it enables you to take a look at this quick map and realize exactly where some of those stations are and be able to target them for a possible DX catch. This calendar is unlike some other calendars in that it has the official U.S. holidays and religious holidays included in it. And the reason for that is that many radio stations have different programming or different formats on particular holidays. Maybe they won't have their usual morning crew. They'll have the stand-in on a holiday. And this gives you an idea of who that station just might be. Now, if you'd like to get a hold of one of these brand new calendars, which are from the Publication Center, they're very easy to get in touch with. All you have to do is order them from the Publication Center, U.S. and Canada members. They're only $4 for each calendar. You can order two Latin America are $5. Orders to Europe are $6. And to the rest of the world, U.S. $7. You can order yours from the National Radio Club Publication Center, which is in Post Office Box 164, little cubicle there in the Post Office Box, Mansville, New York, 13661-0164. And as always, be sure to mention where you heard this offer to get your special pricing on your National Radio Club calendar. Also announced at this year's convention was another National Radio Club product, the National Radio Club New NRC AM Radio Log. This is the brand new 1993 edition. This is the 13th edition, and it has been completely proofread and completely updated. This edition celebrates the 25th anniversary of the National Radio Club's log book publishing. This annual edition contains over 400 pages. Each page is 8.5 by 11 in size, three-hole punch, loose-leaf format, with nearly 6,000 AM radio stations listed from the United States and Canada. Each station consists of its location, its frequency, call letters, format, news network, station address, station slogan, day and night transmit powers, and there's even a cross-reference by the city and by the call letters. If you'd like to pick up one of these AM radio logs for yourself or perhaps a friend for Christmas time, you can order them via the Publication Center, U.S. $19.95, orders to Canada $20.95, orders to Latin America are $24, orders to Europe via air is $27, and orders to the rest of the world are $32 via U.S. air. You can place your order for your log from the National Radio Club Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661-0164. Just be sure you mention where you heard about this offer right here on your convention edition. And when we go over to tape number two, we'll take a look at what happened at the business meeting. And, of course, we'll have a look at convention radio in just a moment.